Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday. It is the, did we say 24, Alan?
24.
It is the 24th of May in the year 2006, folks. Alan Watt is with us this evening, of course. And I will start here with our spiritual message. This, once again, is from my box of sayings, quotes from the Course in Miracles. And this says, nothing you can do can change eternal love. Nothing you can do can change eternal love. And thank you for being with us, Alan.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there anything particular tonight that is on your mind that you want to begin with? Or?
I was just going to mention that apparently, I think it was NBC in California, Los Angeles, had broadcast something maybe last night or this morning on a town which has been affected by these trails, these chemtrails.
Really?
And he mentioned that there was a yellow powder coming down. Now, this is back in February.
And NBC broadcast this?
I believe so. And they were streaming it today. I never caught it myself. But what I was told was that the ministries, one of the departments of environment, sent out someone who tried to say it was pollen, but it was too early in the year for pollen. And the townspeople had been getting sick. And they said that they saw the stuff coming down, and it exploded in the air at one point. Now, what kind of pollen explodes overhead?
When they say explode, I wonder, see, I can't picture that. What?
It was kind of like a gaseous type of cloud. It was just yellow. And you saw the aircraft spraying them. And
the news reported it.
This is on this broadcast. I'm just wondering if they're going to broadcast across the country eventually.
Yep.
Because here, you see, about a month or so ago, there was on the first rain that we really had, a couple of hours later, there was a 3 or 4 inch wide yellow band around every puddle. Every puddle had it.
Whoa.
And it lasted for a few days. And even when it came down really heavy for the next couple of days, that yellow band stayed there. And when the puddles started to dry, it left this band behind them. So I got some samples, and we try and get them tested.
Good.
It's not pollen, because we didn't have any film of pollen coming off anything. Generally, you get a film on your windows and on your vehicle, but there was none of that. So.
Yes, exactly. You would.
Yeah. So I've never seen this.
Do you have any thought of what type of mixture this could be that would be a yellow? I mean, what would be in it that would have it yellow?
Well, we know that Britain has declassified documents from the 60s only recently, and they admitted to using cadmium, which is
cadmium red.
It's a yellow powder.
Oh, cadmium is... Oh, there is cadmium yellow, isn't
there?
Yeah,
and they sprayed this from ships that blew it in over Norfolk in England. And then they observed the public for years, and they had the highest esophageal cancer rate. And no doubt...
Esophageal, the esophagus?
Yeah. It's a tremendous carcinogen. So we don't know what they're up to, really, unless you get the stuff tested.
Alan?
Yeah?
Okay, there is a cadmium yellow and there's cadmium red.
Yeah.
In the oil paint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is cadmium itself yellow and they do something to make cadmium red?
Yeah, it makes it inert. In other words, or not dangerous.
What, the cadmium red?
I believe so. It's in paint.
Well, I can remember once I was taking a painting course at the Art Institute in Springfield, and I would get paint on my fingers and then wipe my face, you know, and my teacher came over and she said, Jackie, get that off your face and get it off your fingers.
Uh-huh.
That is very dangerous. And I thought she was really overreacting.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Well, it's maybe not so bad there, but if you're breathing a powdered form, then it certainly would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just amazing that this stuff is being declassified. I mean, this is what I keep trying to tell people. There are so many levels of real government above the one that you elect.
Yes.
And I talked to Don Scott about it up in Sudbury. He's been on the radio about these trails and what they've been doing. And he got his federal MP, now that's the federal politician, member of parliament, to bring this up in parliament. And the Minister for Defence refused to answer, said he didn't have to answer. So we have literally no complaints department here as to what's happening.
No, of course there isn't. Tell me what you know about, or what Donald Scott was one of the authors of the brucellosis triangle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I did have a conversation with him one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after, I don't know if you recall this, remember the people that had the four shepherds, it was a sheep farm, and they had imported these sheep. And the EPA came, with their flak jackets and their jack boots and their guns, and for a family of four, two children and the mother and father, they took every single one of their sheep.
Oh, yeah.
And they killed them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them on the air with us. I had the father, and I got all of their, or a lot of their documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been testing of those sheep, and there was nothing wrong with them. But their sheep were taken anyway, and of course, their whole investment was gone. It was one of those power grabs. And when I was talking with Don Scott, he called me because evidently one of our listeners told him he should come on Sweet Liberty. And at first when he called, I said, well, you would have to call me on your dime because I don't have an 800 number. Oh, that's no problem. And then we got talking about that family, and he just insisted that those sheep had to be killed. I said, then you shouldn't say that till you read all the information and the crime and the corruption and deceit that went on in regard to this. He said they had Yahrbachfeld disease. That's how he called it. Yahrbachfeld, or however you would do that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, as we talked, he was going to be, as I said, on the air with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then before we were off the air, he said, off the phone, he said, well, I guess he called me back. He said, well, that he had talked to his partners, whatever, and he just couldn't do the broadcast with me because their budget was so low and he couldn't afford the call.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, everything was fine, but the point is, he was going along with the stealing of these sheep, like it had to have been done, and Alan, it didn't.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about this particular case. But generally, there's some recompense or something if they do something like that. Well, although in Britain, when did the mad cow nonsense, they literally went into every
that's
farm.
That's right, that's
and
right.
And they flew teams by helicopter in, and they'd walk into barns and just shoot them all and fly off again.
These sheep,
yes. To the farmers.
These sheep were bred
mm-hmm.
from a strain
yeah.
that had been tested and tested for any
yeah.
disease.
Yeah.
And then after they were bred and these people were importing them, first they were quarantined in their home country before they were able to come over here. Then they got over here and they were quarantined.
Uh-huh.
And they paid a very high price.
Yeah.
And these people were making their living, just delicious cheese and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, they lost everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah. See, there's so much going on that we have no idea about, really. And this is what I don't like to alarm people, but I think they have to stop thinking that the world's going to come to an end sometime in the distant future all at once, because you'll find out that we've been getting poisoned and so on and tested on. In fact, it's been happening to people before I was born, and it's happened during my generation, and they're doing it to the next generation. It's an ongoing program here where we are, this is the laboratory, and we are the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And not only that, they know, I think, what they're really, really doing. It's an interesting thing that I think it was
Alvin. You think they know what they're doing, Alan?
Yeah, they do. These guys have such incredible plans, and you cannot go by the media. The media will put you into a certain mindset, so you can't really fathom out what's happening, because you're trying to use normal logic according to the data. But when you use the observations and the facts that come out over the years, you start to get this incredible picture that these characters know exactly where they're going with us all. And then you tap into the global meetings on depopulation, and also rendering people ill so that they'll be very poor marriage partners. And all of this has been going on for donkey's years. And here we are getting sprayed like bugs every day on these aircraft.
Yeah.
And there's not a peep from anybody near the top or any media. Now, a media that won't even talk about this, I wouldn't listen to about anything, because that's how controlled they are. That shows you there's total control, and no one in the media is going to risk that their job and their career by stating what's obvious if we just look up. And that's a scary thought when you think about it. So we got to stop relying on them for information on anything and do it all ourselves.
Gonzalez. Hmm. What the heck is his, I can't remember who he is, Attorney General?
Uh-huh.
Well, I got an email this past weekend, where he was quoted as saying that journalists can be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
That is, evidently, if something that they're reporting is considered to be a threat to national security.
Oh, I know. They're taking this all the way.
Journalists. And, you know, there have been a lot of journalists killed over there in Iraq and disappeared. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So some of them, when they try to jump ship and do it right, Alan, they just do them in.
That's the real world. See, that's the real world. It's a scary thing for most people to realize that all these glossy magazines and newspapers really, on the one hand, are not telling you really what's happening, and a lot of what they are telling you is total disinformation to keep you twiddling your thumbs and smiling away. That's part of mind control. Mind control works primarily through the data that you receive. And when you believe that the media is there to do your thinking for you, then you're under mind control. And Aldous Huxley pretty well said that, you know. So this is well understood. We form our opinions on what we're fed.
Well, you know, I remember one time when we were talking, I know I brought this up last week, mm-hmm. More on a spiritual level, mm-hmm. when you said that they're at the top.
Yeah.
The ones that we believe are in control are actually controlled by another level.
Yeah.
People that we don't, or creatures, I don't know what we would call them. But when I said, well, you said that their greatest fear is that enough people will realize the power that is within us.
Yeah.
And I asked, you know, at that time, how many do you think it would take? And you said, I don't think too many. Because there really aren't too many of them. And Alan, you see, to me, that's important for people to realize that all of these plans and all of what they're doing right now, and I know that we're part of it, and we have been, but we know that with Creator, all things are possible.
They're possible as long as we understand fully, and I mean fully, the situation we're in. You see, close to this, on the mirror image of this,
yes,
you have all the New Age movement which grabs all the real data. See, intelligence, this is how what intelligence and counterintelligence is. Intelligence is information that's being passed around that the ordinary public is leaked out, is getting passed around. Counterintelligence agencies that work for the super government grab that information. They put out their own people to become superstars, and so the public immediately listen to them.
Yes.
We're trained to follow the stars, like
yes.
Hollywood,
yes.
The big successful ones. So they say the same things, the intelligence, then they counter it by wrapping it up in a lot of nonsense and throwing it off into outer space, or telling you it doesn't matter. It's all illusion.
It doesn't matter. Uh-huh.
And that's the trick of counterintelligence.
Oh, uh-huh. It doesn't matter.
You see, so I'm trying to tell people.
It's all illusion.
Yeah, and I've heard people who have phoned me up, they'll follow the big ones, and that's what they tell me. It doesn't matter because nothing's real anyway.
Mm.
And I thought, boy, what a mind job has been done on them, because now they're rendered utterly harmless.
Well, you know, when I was listening to one of your videos, watching,
mm-hmm.
and the questions that come in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was, okay, why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here?
Yeah.
Who are we and why are we here?
Yeah.
We are here.
Mm-hmm.
At least our consciousness.
We wake up every day as ourselves.
Yes. Saying is, and we had this, actually it was a wonderful spontaneous conversation once on the air.
Yeah.
And I remember the date, and I went and got that tape because I wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
And the tape was totally inaudible.
Uh-huh.
I'm from my own machine.
I told you what happened here.
No.
A little while back there. I was taping something down to Jason in the States.
Yeah.
He listened to it and all that. He put the tape up on something on top of a speaker or somewhere or a table, and the next morning it was wiped. You could hear his voice asking questions, and my voice was gone.
Oh, wow.
Everywhere I answered was gone.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the technology.
Well, that's what happened to the... I was just sick about it,
mm-hmm.
because it was so important what we talked about, basically, that we are all existing, even though our consciousness is fully focused here in the physical realm, in the third dimension, but that every single thing we do here matters in every single dimension.
I'll tell you one thing. Here's the proof of it is, in the incredible length and planning. Now, 9/11, let's just start with this nonsense here, 9/11. Because we know they published this in the Project for a New American Century, the whole war plan to attack Afghanistan, Iraq, then Iran, then Syria, and so on.
Uh-huh.
And then Brzezinski brought his book out, The Grand Chessboard, with the same strategy and battle plan in it. So this was planned long before 9/11. And the proof is also in the fact that every country on the planet has signed into this anti-terrorism campaign. And they went into action at the same time with the same plans to make sure they can survey every single person in their population totally in all communications. Now that obviously took... You know the speed of bureaucracy? You know how slow bureaucracy is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so this shows you the tremendous work that went in worldwide, long before 9/11 came into being.
Okay.
And here's your key. Now, what is it they're afraid of? I mean, there's people going through the border there who certainly do not look like Arabs. They don't look like Arabs, but everybody's going through this farce in every country. And your telephones are being tapped, your email, your fax, all communications. Everybody has obviously got something in them that terrifies them.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. It terrifies them. They're going to incredible lengths. See, in an absolutely totalitarian system, everyone must be predictable. And this is taught in law enforcement.
So we must be unpredictable and unreasonable.
We have to think for ourselves.
Yes.
And that's the key, is thinking for ourselves. And you can't figure out what the world's all about until you start figuring out what you're all about.
Yes.
You see? Now, that doesn't mean you sit in navel gaze and cross your legs and shout om or whatever.
Right.
It's a matter of realizing that there's tremendous powers at play in this world. And no matter where you go with following the history and the way we're shepherded, so perfectly shepherded down through history by a small group of elite masterminds, you might say, you'll always come up against the perfect planning of a diabolical type mind.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in the language we were given, which again was created deliberately, it's minimalistic in its descriptive capacities, but you can't help but coming across something which is so intensely cunning and evil and just beyond the ordinary crook or even the super crook, because everything today is coming into place at the same time that was all started a long time ago. Everything is falling into place and coming together. We can read about this with Blavatsky and the creation of Theosophy, which was intended to blend Christianity with Hinduism. And then they brought that out across the planet in an explosion with the Beatles when they went off to the Maharishi after they had gained their audience, remember. They didn't start like that. First you got to grab the audience and the people follow the stars, and once they were accepted and superstars, then they went off to India and all their followers were suddenly delving into all these books on Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
That was planned that way.
Kate, let me ask, oh gosh, these conversations we have sometimes, so many thoughts and questions just explode in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep it in order here, the reason that we have the religions, the reason they control education and entertainment is that they want to control our thoughts because they know absolutely how powerful our thoughts are. And they know how powerful our words are.
Yeah.
And behind the thoughts and the words, what drives the force or the power of them are our emotions.
Yes.
Okay.
Emotions and experiences. Yeah.
Exactly. So they want to control our thoughts, and you have 40,000 Judeo-Christians who are clamoring for, quote, Jesus to hurry up and come because he's going to take his seat in Israel.
Yeah.
And this is God's plan. It's all God's plan.
Uh-huh.
So that's how religion does it.
Yeah.
And the emotions, the fear, the concern,
yeah.
When we start worrying and we start getting, oh, what am I going to do when this happens? I spoke with a friend today, an associate, let me say that. We had met at one time, and we had had several conversations, and he was getting so frustrated with me because, you know, he was talking about, and we do know this, as self-sufficient as we can be, we must be. However, we can only do the best we can do. And if we sit around and worry about what's going to happen because we haven't done this or we haven't got that, the worry itself, the fear, is a negative energy that's being generated that they want us to generate.
This is obvious, and this is a strategy which has been used so many times before by the same people. And they've got the audacity to publish this in books. Such as Carol Quigley, he published the strategy of terrorizing the general population so that when he went to war, you'd breathe a sigh of relief. And they scared the British people for years, telling them they were going to get gassed. And all the major cities in England shoved off their children, millions of children, off to Scotland and different, in Wales and different places. So it split up the families. And Quigley, who was the historian for the CFR, he wasn't just a member of
right,
it.
Right, he was their historian.
He said that the Royal Institute of International Affairs, or which is the British one of the same company, the same group, he said that the newspaper men had all met together in the Royal Institute of International Affairs and decided and planned this strategy to terrorize the public for 3 years.
To keep us afraid.
And then when they declared war, you see, everybody almost breathed a sigh of relief that something was happening.
Something's being done.
And they gave gas masks to all the people. Everybody had to carry them. And it's the same stuff they're using now with the flu. Oh, the flu's, they've been saying this for years now and drumming, getting the drums going and terrorizing the public. And now they're announcing, oh, it's definitely going to hit this fall. They already admitted a few months ago it was going to hit here come about March or April.
Oh, yeah, spring.
And now they're churning out these movies, these docudramas, using real members of the UN and their various teams and the WHO or doctors,
yes,
who was I call it. And so they're using actors and real people to make this seem so real to the public.
Yes.
And it goes through just like the disaster movies that we're all trained to watch. You see, it's all done through fiction, and then comes the reality. They start off with day one, when the first report comes in,
yes,
and then day two, then they'll show you what happens.
Well,
it goes up to day 15, and my God, there's rioting. And
yes,
it's
total chaos.
And this is all training the public in the same type of mass hysteria, so as you'll do what you're told like a robot, and go along with whatever is powerful.
Well, and Alan, the energy itself that is generated, this is the way I see it in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
These creatures have no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
The ones in control, they have no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have, an emotion is energy, and it is powerful, and they have to have it in order to move their plan forward.
What we do have,
so they generate the negative emotions.
They make us generate it.
Well, they promulgate the fear, the concern, the worry, the anger, the hatred, and people say, "Well, it's righteous anger," and whatever. I just know that when we get like that, we're doing and being and feeling the way they want us to.
Absolutely. And I tell you something too, when someone's furious or angry or afraid, they're missing so much around them. They don't see things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're giving us all this incredible fear all the time.
Well, this guy that I was talking to today,
mm-hmm,
he was almost not hysterical, but he was so intensively emotional about, Jesus, Jackie, don't you know what they're going to do? And do you know that they're going to nuke this country? I said, I believe that's what their plan is. You know, I've said that before, that they're probably going to set a nuke off in one of... He said, more than one city. I said, how do you know? But you see, I wasn't reacting or responding with enough emotion.
Yeah.
And he said, you don't seem to get it. I suggest I do get it. I said, but what good is my sitting and worrying about something? He said, because then you can be prepared. I said, how do we prepare?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be self-sufficient. I said, well, do you have any suggestions for me? Well, you have to talk to people and you have to do this and, you know, get a group of people together. And basically... he was frustrated with me, Alan.
Yes.
But I said, I'm not going to live in fear,
mm-hmm,
and I'm not going to live in worry, because I discovered a long time ago my worry changes nothing.
That's right.
And I will do the best that I can do, and there's where our faith comes in.
Yeah.
And we are going to take a break here in about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Folks, Alan Watts' website is Cutting Through the Matrix, CHROUGH, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, and of course SweetLiberty.org is our website. Alan has 3 videos now. If you haven't seen them, you will want to take the time.
If you'd like to get a copy of this
first
program,
on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net,
around the world and on satellite.
And you'll receive an
if you read the history books, the most
of
often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North, the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Past Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all?
Of your favorite
get this
program,
DVD and just
don't
for
forget
yourself.
That most of the
war
programs
of Federal
First Amendment Radio.
Get this DVD presentation
support. Don't
for
do
a donation
internet,
of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today
to help you.
At FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
At First Amendment Radio.
559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
All right, we're back with Alan Watt, folks. You know, I wanted to say again, just before the break, when we think about, and I know that it takes, what does it take? Maybe understanding. I don't think it takes willpower. I don't think we can make ourselves quit worrying until we understand and really get it. That worrying about something changes nothing. And I'm not saying, you know, we don't have concerns about somebody we love or et cetera, but what I'm getting at is to set and worry
about the mobilization.
Say it again.
It's a mobilization. That's what pure worry does. Worry
it immobilizes
is not,
you.
Yeah. And it immobilizes the person. And it truly... Well, it gives you very poor health to begin with. It will bring you down quickly.
Yes.
And if you're worrying and fretting, it also brings those around you down quickly too.
Well, and you know what? Given that we're, our thoughts, our emotions, our fears, etc., that we do attract to us that which we fear.
Yeah.
But what the thing is, to say to somebody, well, don't worry, they're like, what are you, nuts? You know, how can I not worry? Mm-hmm. Chuck and I talked about this a lot because he was a worry wart.
Uh-huh.
And we had so many conversations about it. Finally, one day, I mean, I asked him, I said, he was concerned about finances. And of course, if you're in sales and you're hungry and you show that you're hungry and that you're worried, you're an opposite, like an opposite a magnet, like you repel instead of attract. And one day I finally said it in a way that he understood. And I asked him, Chuck, could it be worse, any worse than it is right now? And he said, no. I said, so what has all your worry got you? He said, nothing. I said, well, then try giving it up, because it is useless. And it does. It de-energizes you. And maybe you could just go out and have fun with what you're doing. Enjoy the people that you're talking with. And don't worry, because that's what the stoppage is. And Alan, I saw it in his eyes that it finally sunk in.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it was, I mean, even that same day, he did something that he said when he got home, I don't know what made me do that. Well, he gave up, basically, is what he did.
Yeah.
And wound up getting a sale that gave him a $700 commission.
Yeah.
That same afternoon. It was within an hour after he left that the call came to the house. And so to say to somebody, don't worry, they look at you like, well, how can you not worry?
Yeah.
Well, because I found out that worry changes nothing.
Well, see, that's the same thing we're talking about earlier about the language itself. It isn't specific enough as compared to other languages. And so really what we're talking about is when you get to a state of fretting, when you fret, you know.
Uh-huh.
And when you're fretting about something, that's worry that is not constructive. You're worrying for the sake of worry with no solutions. You see, that's destructive.
Uh-huh.
It's a destructive state.
But what good does worry do?
Well, what I mean is we should really differentiate it between concern.
Concern, yes.
You see, concern.
Exactly.
In other words, you always know, and this is wrong, and I see what they're doing, and you're aware of things, but you don't let it get into a panic state where you sit and fret about it.
Well, for example, frantically saying, they are going to do this,
yeah,
they are going to do that, mm-hmm, they are going, and I said, well, I know what their plans are.
Yeah.
I know what their intentions are. I am not going to help to speak their plans into the material world. And that's what we do. And I know that they know this, Alan.
Well, they know it.
And that's why they've got us saying, oh, well, it's God's plan. It's God's plan. I had somebody call one day and said, you know, when I was talking about, he says, I love listening to you because you're so inspiring, but he said, Jackie, don't you understand? It's God's plan.
It's preordained.
Yes. Uh-huh. And when you can get a billion or 2 or 3 billion people,
yeah,
thinking, you know what I believe? I believe that if enough of us said the sun comes up in the west,
yeah,
that the whole physical apparatus would change, Alan.
Yeah.
That our belief holds it in place.
I'd have to move my kitchen to the other room.
There you go. Yeah, me too. But that is so important for us to know that with all of this terror that they are trying to create, and they are terrorists.
This is a reign of terror. It's,
yes,
not, it's not a war on terror. It's your standard Illuminati-type reign of terror. And I was thinking about Trotsky the other day there. And Trotsky wrote a few books. One of them was a book, I think it was In Praise of Terror. He was justifying
In Praise of Terror.
The techniques of terrorizing the population so that they go along with what the elite had planned. And of course, he counted himself amongst the elite of his day.
They do know what they're doing.
They know. This is an old technique of stampeding the public. You know, I think it was around the 1500s when Britain wanted to stop using these terms, really. It was a group in London who wanted to go to war with the whole of France and loot it, basically. And they put out propagandists to go into communities. And I don't know if you've seen these speakers they had that would say, oh yeah, oh yeah, and everybody would gather around the village and he'd give the latest news. That's what they did.
Uh-huh.
They sent them from London. And they told the people, these were ordinary people, they were illiterate, and they told them that there were strange events happening. It's kind of familiar, where shipwrecks were coming up on the coast of England, and these strange Frenchmen that don't look human were being caught, and it actually came that a ship that came across and did flounder off England, some pet monkeys on board, and some of the local people hung them thinking they were French.
Oh my.
That's what they do.
Oh my.
Well, we're hearing the same stuff with the aliens are here and all the rest of it. It's the same strategies they've used down the ages to confuse us, panic us, and to doing ridiculous things.
Yes.
And we see this. You remember Orson Welles did the War of the Worlds,
yes,
on radio?
and people jumped out of windows. And
they were shooting water towers, thinking these were the aliens. And people died, you know, during that panic. And
yes.
Smashes.
People killed themselves before the aliens could get them.
And then admitted, in conjunction with the CIA, it was a national psychological test on the public with using psychology department of Princeton University. This is authorized. They authorized them to do the panic to people. And this is for future use.
Sure.
And now we're seeing the similar techniques being used today. But there's always a great enemy or multiple enemies. So now all Arabs are suspect. And even though you don't look anything like an Arab, you're going to get stopped and questioned
too.
That's
right.
And then you've got bird flu that you can't even see, you see. So you've got all these strange enemies all coming at you at once. And then the CIA is putting it, well, you're going to get nuked. And it's coming, and there's one off the harbor, and blah, blah, blah. And this is all to panic the people. And when you're running in a circle, the big boys are moving swiftly.
Well, you know what happens too, Alan?
Mm.
When we're in fear like that,
yeah,
we're disconnected from our spirit.
It's spirit and personal power.
Yes.
And your right to participate in life and the creation of destiny, because you forget it all. You're looking for a savior to come, generally in a suit and tie or a uniform, and it's not going to happen. You are your own champion here.
Thank you. Yes. If there is a hero, it's each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to this, really, I believe, well, you've said it. In fact, when you said it, it took me maybe 6 months to really get it, that it's up to each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
How we live our lives, Alan.
Yeah, and we have a right to. You see, we're all born the same way. I don't care if someone's sitting in the top of Buckingham Palace or the Pentagon or the White House. We're all born the same way. And really, they have no special rights over our destinies. They're not my shepherd, put it that way.
Yep.
I don't need a shepherd.
Well,
it's not a physical one.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if we're living in fear,
mm-hmm,
there's no way that we can live in a way that could make a difference.
Yeah.
Because we're not connected. We're not hearing that inner voice, that inner guidance. I shouldn't say voice, maybe, because I'm not talking about an actual voice.
Mm-hmm.
But the guidance,
yeah,
the understanding and awareness that is within us, there's no way we're going to be able to be in touch with that.
Yeah.
If we're living in fear and anxiety and,
yeah,
anger.
You're just like sheep running around in a pen,
yeah,
bouncing off the walls. Because you're panicking. Your panic is the word. Yeah.
So maybe sometimes when somebody says, "What is it we can do?"
Mm-hmm.
It's
a long journey because it's a process. It isn't just.
I know.
You have to decide. You know, really look into yourself first of all.
Yes.
And see, most people truly want the system just to, time to stop. They want the time just to stop. And they can continue slowly in their system.
In other words, just don't let it get any worse.
Don't let it get worse. And I keep saying, look, this system, which they call civilization, is the moneyed system, which they gave us thousands of years ago, at least many thousands of years ago. And they gave us, and that gave the leisure class, it also gave the ability to tax labor from people, because we are all working towards their great plan, you see.
Yes, we are, yes.
You can't save something that is corrupt from the base upwards. You can't do it. You can't save. What part of the corruption do you want to save?
Yes, and I know that we've talked about this,
mm-hmm,
but I will say it again. It was Betty Mills and I when we were having a conversation. Like, one day, okay, I said, Betty, if we could stop it right here,
mm-hmm,
how in the world would we ever start turning it around?
Yeah.
Well, then, years later, it occurred to me, there's nothing to turn around to.
Yeah.
Why would we want to turn it around?
Yeah, well, what part of the corruption in history...
Yeah, would you like to have back?
Yeah.
Or would you like to preserve or go back to?
Because as long as money has been in here, which brought around the ability of a ruling elite to live and hire people to scheme and manage the people, it's always been corrupted. We've never truly been free. And in fact, we have no real records. All the records we have, we're given in history, is given by the authorized historians, just like the authorized Bible. It's
yes.
authorized by the top. And so they give us authorized history. And when you dig into the history yourself and the various writings of ancient times, you start to piece it together for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And these characters have tried this before. That's
Many
why
times.
They're going to such incredible lengths today to try and ensure they know what everyone else is doing. Everybody in the planet is. I mean, that's a fearful state to be in for them, when they must have a minute observation of every single man, woman, and child on this planet. That tells you that it's the critical phase for those at the top.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Their window of opportunity.
Yep, and because this has never, ever happened on a world scale like this before. Even during World War II, we didn't have all of this hassle and listening, snooping to every single individual.
Right.
They're going to every extreme. There's never been a tyrant in history who'd have dreamt of having this power or even going this far as they're doing today.
Well, I guess they dreamt of it, but they didn't have
the know-how. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
How was that going to happen?
Mm-hmm. So this is an incredible length they're going to, and they're having their world meetings. They're having one in Ottawa in June. That's the Bilderberger meeting. So they have their big world meeting. And Bilderberger, you see, this is high Masonic. The builders, that's why they called it after the builder. They named the Bilderberger Hotel before they had the meeting. This is how they do it. And it's they build, the berg is the mountain, you see. And the mountain, of course, is a symbol of the pyramid. The pyramid is an artificial, perfected mountain. They want to perfect nature by completely recreating it
right.
scientifically. So they give you this in your face all the time. And we see what appears to be some of the main characters, but we're not seeing what's in those characters.
And say that, what you shared with us one night. In other words, and I was thinking about this earlier, that there is, if you would call it, maybe another dimensional
mm-hmm.
Force that is at work here.
Definitely. As I say, you must look at today and all of the things which have been pushed since about 1960 onwards. And even though they started in the late 1800s with this push, they really brought it out. And they put everybody into channeling. Everybody from psychologists and their patients to even visualization into, which is really to help promote the next step of channeling. That's what they're really pushing. And channeling is bringing something into you that doesn't belong there.
Yes.
And I look at these guys like the Kissingers, and I see a very dark person, a darkness around them.
Well, remember you were telling us about that high Freemason you were talking to,
mm-hmm.
and you saw.
Oh, I saw that. I mean, I'd love personally to be able. I really would. To be able to say this is all advanced science, and they certainly have incredible advanced sciences beyond what we're given even in science fiction in a high level, the higher matrix, but there's no doubt we're up against something else here. These are entities which can flip through them, and they bring them in. I didn't want to believe it till I saw it.
Yeah, and they welcome them.
They actually make it, yeah, because with the high degrees they take in higher entities. This is what they claim themselves. And at first I didn't believe it till I saw what was true, the guy. And that was unmistakable, yeah. And I would dearly love to put it all down to just basic science and so on. And I do know they can certainly put thoughts in a person's head through science, because they've been doing that since the 1800s.
Yeah.
With Alexander Graham Bell's father, that's what he was specializing in. And Alexander just took over the job, you know. So yeah, they have advanced science, but there's also this other added entity which is above the human intellect.
Beyond.
It certainly is beyond the cunningness of the average individual.
And beyond the physical world.
And of course, they get a trade-off. They get a bit of longevity and tremendous health if they take these entities on. But they also have to allow the entity to take on or to spend more time within them. Hell to an entity is absence of the physical world.
Uh-huh.
And
you mean hell to one of those entities?
That's right. It's
an earthbound.
You can imagine being a mind in one of those, what do you call them, those deprivation tanks where you float in water and you lose desensitization. Well, if you were just a mind floating in space and you couldn't move or go anywhere, you're just a thought, you're thinking, and you couldn't feel, touch, smell, or anything, that would be hell. And so these characters want to inhabit the physical realm because for some reason or other, they're basically trapped within this realm, and because they're trapped, they want to first conquer this realm in order first to break out of it. But they want to create...
Oh, you believe that you... In other words, are you saying that they believe if they can conquer this realm, they can break out of it?
That's right. That is right. Ultimately, through their own intellect, I mean, this is the boast down through the ages, they will become gods over all the gods. In other words, break out and be above everything.
What do they... Do they believe in a creator?
They certainly seem to. Something definitely has put them here. It's not the same as humans.
But I'm not talking about, let's say, what they call the fallen angels or... What I mean is the spirit or the energy, the force, the intelligent thought that created the spirit that... Man, I know it's just hard to...
It's hard to formulate, but they want to because they're basically eternal, you might say, spiritually or whatever you want to call this thing, this entity. They want a physical body, ultimately, to inhabit, which will also match it and live forever. They want physical immortality, and that's where we've been driving through science all this time, is to create this for them, not for the people here, but for them.
Of course.
Barring accidents, there's no reason why they couldn't. And David Suzuki, who is a geneticist, and he does all the nature programs for the Audubon Wildlife Society and all these big societies, he said on national television here a few years ago, he said, we now have the ability to make a person live to 500 years if we want to.
I believe that.
Because they can stop the aging gene from kicking in, the time gene.
The time gene.
So,
and Alan,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that it is a probability, or at least a possibility, I see it as a probability, that the human body did live for maybe hundreds of years in the past,
mm-hmm.
and that the DNA was messed with,
mm-hmm.
sort of like a self-destruct mode or something that, well, like in the Old Testament, it says that we are allotted 80 and 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 70 years, and if we really live well, we might get 80.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the Old Testament.
I know.
And yet, in those days, Methuselah and all of them were living for hundreds of years.
Mm, yeah, again, it's mixed with allegory, just like other writings, to do with solar events, not real people. And what they're really telling you is these are not characters, these are not really physical people.
Uh-huh.
These are solar events, and of course, over the course of the many thousands of years, and such as the great zodiacal cycle, it's the journeys of the sun and so on, down to the ages, and the ecliptic as the earth wobbles. So different constellations come into view and dominate for a couple of thousand years. These are all to do with solar, stellar, and lunar cycles. They're not real people. And that's what the elite have always known. They've given us this. They have wrapped truths about human nature and their system in it.
But do you believe that in years gone by or eons gone by, mm-hmm. that the human body lasted a lot longer than it does.
I think if it was not tampered with and injected,
yeah.
and our food was modified before we even knew it, we're the last to know how long this has been going on. Yeah, without all of this tampering with us, and I'm sure the disease creation as well, we could live a lot longer and definitely healthier and fitter right up to the end.
And think about this. As we live longer, mm-hmm. we become more, not
wise.
Intelligent, but more
wise.
Knowledgeable.
Wise.
And
you see,
wise.
That's the thing, too. In old cultures and tribal systems, before this infection came in, the elderly people were held in the highest respect.
Yes.
Because they had the wisdom that was necessary for survival of everyone.
And the elders also were caretakers of the young people.
Yeah,
because they passed their wisdom on.
That was why it was so vital to split up the family and really remove the older people from the family, because they passed down the knowledge.
Yes.
And have been very successful.
And today, of course, the elders are useless eaters.
Yeah, according to the elite, yeah.
Yeah,
and even the UN have said that a good world citizen. Now, world citizen was an Illuminati term. That was the first time it was used, was by Weishaupt. And the Rockefeller, I've got tapes from Rockefeller's foundation where he's giving awards for world citizenship. This is no coincidence here. And it's the same bunch, you see.
Yeah.
But long before Weishaupt as well.
You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago or whatever, about the on our website at sweetliberty.org, in the shadow government section, that's where we have the New Order of Barbarians, and they talked about how important it is to break up the family, and especially the extended family.
Yeah.
And I remember when Effie was going to come to visit that one. Folks, listen to me what I'm saying. I'm saying this, well, of course, our whole conversation is for our listeners, but this, so you can understand how they do what they do. Effie was going to come to visit. She was going to get a senior citizen's discount on her airline fare. And they said that if she wanted a senior citizen's discount, she had to make her trip within 4 weeks. And when she told me that, I thought about, you know, that New Order of the Barbarians. And I said, Effie, why? Why does it matter to them how long you stay? If you have an open round-trip ticket, why do they care? Why do you have to come back in 4 weeks? Well, I say that it's because they don't want children with their grandparents. She called every other airline, and every single airline had the same policy, Alan.
Yeah.
And so that means if Grandma's going to go to visit the family, you can't stay more than 4 weeks or you don't get the discount.
That's right.
And that's how they do it. It's little things like this.
Yeah, and you've got the coordination between all airlines.
All airlines.
There's obviously coordination.
And here we are at the end of our hour.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the times I wish we had two.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe three, Alan.
Uh-huh.
Folks, Alan and I will be back with you next Wednesday night. And Darren is with you on Mondays and Tuesdays at sweetliberty.org, listening live. And please do tune in to Darren Reese Monday and Tuesday. Thank you for being with us tonight. And Alan, this has been lovely. And thank you tonight.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-7000.